Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to
listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you.
Yolanda Martinez off her CD, Prairie Mother. That song was entitled Walking with Spirit. Yolanda is a Mescalero Apache Mexican Indian singer-songwriter. She gifted me her CD when I had the honor to visit her in her tribal territory, now called the United States Southwest Border. That desert region is a traditional homeland of a number of indigenous peoples, such as the Apache, Toto Odham, and Yaqui, among others. Their cultures are deeply rooted in those sacred lands. They have survived a long history of oppression from both the United States and Mexico, whose border divides their Indian communities. One very serious example of this is the constant surveillance and harassment Native people face trying to visit sacred sites for their ceremonies by both U.S. and Mexican authorities. Police on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border routinely detain and threaten Native families from visiting relatives. Border agents often rip open sacred prayer bundles, damage and confiscate religious items such as drums or prayer feathers. Ancestral holy sites have often been destroyed by agricultural, industrial, and urban development activities that is rapidly impacting this fragile arid lands of traditional indigenous peoples. Currently, the U.S. Border Patrol is constructing a 75-mile wall barrier, which will be another hardship for so-called cross-border Indian communities. It is my understanding that the U.S. Congress has authorized a waiver to the Department of Homeland Security for following NAGPRA, Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act, on this border barrier project. This will mean the desecration of many indigenous shrines and probable grave sites. Once again, the song you heard was Apache singer-songwriter Yolanda Martinez, Walking with Spirit. Ashkwe greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we focus on the subject of ceremony with a conversation with my studio guest, Raven Lamour Dodd. Raven has studied a number of different spiritual disciplines for more than 30 years. She founded and directs a counseling service entitled Coach Force, which helps people connect with their inner wisdom through personal ceremony. Ceremony is a way to connect to the spirit world. Most every culture around the world honors ceremony as a sacred foundation of one society. We indigenous peoples of what's now called North America try to honor our ancient spirit ways by following traditional ceremonies commonly referred to as the Red Road. Cultural ceremonial ways are very sacred. They must be greatly respected. Prayers and spiritual practice require serious and sincere commitment. Many of us in Indian country are very concerned about how some sacred ways are being misused and exploited, often for money, both by Native and non-Native people out in public. We here at Yad Kiddushi Native Center believe it is very important that Indigenous peoples' cultural, spiritual ways are more respected in the world. We feel that Native ethics and wisdoms are very much needed, especially now in the 21st century, where there are so many critical issues facing all life on Mother Earth. The Indigenous belief of having reverence for life and being concerned for future generations is one important example that our ceremonies teach. I believe everyone can find and follow what I term their spirit heart, a spiritual life path through ceremony, both personal and community ritual. I myself respect many diverse traditional practices and what in English is often called beliefs. I have learned many good teachings from different faiths. I also feel it is a good thing for well-respected Native spiritual leaders to share traditional ceremony with those who show themselves to be sincere, respectful, and serious about honoring the Red Road. I do not believe spirit can be owned by any one culture. I have learned much from having the honor to participate in intercultural ceremonies that have been conducted by spiritual leaders authorized by their communities. Promotion of planetary peace, reverence for all life, respect and justice for all peoples, prayers for healing, are all important teachings from ceremony to be shared. However, I am concerned about how some so-called spiritual practices intermix religions and promote a kind of homogenized ritual. It is important not to misuse prayers and ceremonies or disrespect traditional people's cultural spiritual beliefs. Many of us in Indian country are concerned about fake medicine people who do misrepresent themselves in order to profit from hosting ceremonies, selling sacred items, or who promote themselves by writing books or speak for money about Native American spirituality. There are some very fine, well-recognized Native healers and teachers that are sharing important knowledge, and to those we are very grateful to. I just wanted to mention the importance of being cautious about those who are not sincere or honest. Before we hear from today's guest, Raven, I also want to briefly mention the serious issue about how throughout the world many prayer sites, sacred lands, are being desecrated and destroyed. Energy and natural resource exploitation, pollution of air, land, and water, commercial industrial land use developments, and urbanization are some of the threats to sacred places. Many indigenous peoples often still have difficulty gaining access to sites or trouble being able to practice some ceremonies. The cultural survival of many traditional peoples depends upon the rights and ability to follow our traditional cultural, spiritual, ceremonial life ways. I also believe the survival of all humankind depends upon our species developing a planetary spiritual connection to each other and all life, or as we say in my native language, Kidon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations. I would like to now welcome Raven to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. in the studio today, a very beautiful sunny afternoon here in Pahiokee, what Seminole Miccosukee people call Southwest Florida Everglades region, is a longtime friend of mine, a guest, and as is the custom of Wolf Mountain Native Radio, we prefer our guest to introduce him or herself so that how they are expressed is the most comfortable with. So without any further comment on my part, I'd like to say Ashwe, greetings, welcome, and thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you, ONS. My name is Raven Lamoureux-Dodd, and I'm originally from Montreal. I grew up with an American father, Canadian mother, two languages, two religions, my childhood, and I am a professional life and business coach and also a ceremonialist and sacred artist. And I am very involved in helping people connect with our Great Mother and with Wakantanka, the Great Spirit.
In the modern time, the present time, contemporary times, now in the 21st century, a lot of people all over the world, irregardless of their culture, are really disconnected from Mother Earth, are really disconnected from their own spirit, from their own selves. People live a very rushed life. Contemporary life has a lot of different stresses and pressure. Please let our audience know a little bit about the work you do and how you try to help people reconnect themselves to their own spirit and to Mother Earth.
Passionate way that I do that is through designing ceremony. I studied the ceremony of several different cultures, including the Red Path and Druid in Britain and Hawaiian and several others as well. And I find that exactly what you said, that people are disconnected, and that's without understanding that there's a separation, people are lost and wondering why certain things happen in their life and not understanding that there is a plan or a purpose. And through designing ceremony for people individually, depending on, you know, what their background is, what their spiritual nature is, if they're even thinking on those terms, I design ceremonies for them to help them reconnect with themselves, with their magical self, with the earth, with all the support of all of our relations, which many people have never even considered. And I don't have a drop of red blood in me. I'm, you know, part French Canadian, part English, white. But it was through, for me, it was through nature and through the Native American or the Red Road that I really connected, and which also spurred me to study the indigenous cultures in other parts of the world. And that sense of connection when you reconnect to the source, to Great Spirit, to Great Mother, and realize that there is a plan. And you may not understand it, but it will unfold. And the more that you're paying attention and dialoguing and interacting with all of your relations, the easier it's going to be.
Would you please share with our listening audience an example of some of the ceremony you do and share and teach? Do you do meditation? Do you do work through the breath and through quiet reflection? What type of activities do you share or teach?
In the ceremonies, I do many different kinds of ceremony. My focus in a ceremony is to, one, help people connect with the support that's around them, help them to honor all life, and I do various exercises in the ceremonies depending on the kind of ceremony. So, for example, if I'm doing a ceremony on, let's say, on focusing your intention as you're changing direction, and you're not really sure where you're going, and but you know your life is changing, you're in transition, you're shifting directions. It might be a shift in career, it might be a shift in the way that you express yourself. I might do an exercise in the ceremony on perspective. Like, I might work with the stone people. I might work with rocks and have people put the rocks in various configurations so that the stone people can speak to them through the different patterns that they create. It's a very, very powerful exercise I use in quite a few ceremonies. I work very, very strongly with invocation because I feel that it's very important that people understand when you invoke, when you call in, when you pray, you are really connecting. And before you call in spirit, well, you better know what you want and what you're doing. And a lot of people don't really understand necessarily the details of what they want. So what I try to coach them on in ceremony is to look for the quality of what they want. You know, don't worry about it. Spirit knows the details. But what is the quality that you want in your intention? You know, are you wanting to live a life of integrity? Well, what might that look like? You don't need the details, but what you need is your intention. And that's what's really important. Spirit can supply the details later.
One of the concerns that I and United Conditioning Native Center have is that when we focus on prayer and ceremony, at least within indigenous people's traditions, it is a commitment that in many cases is a lifelong commitment. We have apprenticeships, that's the English term, of course, I'm speaking English, and a lot of the ceremony also relates to what clan you are born in or choose to follow. For example, my mom's people, I'm raised as a Wolf Clan person, which means that it's taken me 20, 30 years of upbringing to understand some of the songs and ceremonies. And even to this day, as really my whole life is one of learning, one of the things that I'm concerned about in Western culture, American culture, is things are so fast. It's almost like a fad or a fashion. People don't really have a lot of patience anymore or don't follow apprenticeships, and maybe one year they'll be reading something from Buddhism, and another year it might be something from Hinduism, and another year it might be, quote, a Native American type ceremony. How do you deal with people's impatience and the fact that many of the ceremonies require many years of discipline and respect and learning and studying before one can necessarily learn from the powers?
That's a very good question and very controversial one too. It has been for many years. From the perspective of a white woman, learning about other cultures and the ceremonies and the powers that are there. One of the things that, first of all, I'm going to try to answer this in a couple of different ways. One of the things that I understood at a very young age is that there is one source. There is one great spirit. There is one God, if you will, one creator. And we in this world, whether you're an Australian Aborigine or a person, a red man or woman or a Druid or, you know, whatever you are, what I've learned through the years of studying the different cultures is that the similarities in the cultures are so wonderful and so rewarding in that it keeps revalidating, if you will, you know, what you've learned somewhere else. So that's one thing. I've met a lot of workshop junkies in my life. I've taught, you know, as a coach, besides as a ceremonialist, I've taught a lot of personal growth seminars, workshops over the years. I've been doing this most of my life. It's my life path. And I've met many people who go to a workshop and they get the quick fix and then they go home and they look at the book and then they don't pick it up again. And then they go to something else. Oh, no, some of those people will do that for the rest of their lives because they can never quite take it seriously enough and take responsibility to really put the effort and the time and energy into it. And you, with those people, you do your best to show them the door, but if they can't walk through it, then that's, you know, that's between them and the Creator. However, one of the things that I stress in doing ceremony with people is that when you go into ceremony and your heart is open and your intention is good and your intention is pure, that you are stating your purpose, you're stating your intention, you're putting it out there. What you're doing is you're also, as you're working with the powers, you're setting forces in motion. The results, you may not see results for this intention for many years because it may have to do with timing that's totally out of your control. So what it requires is trust. And that is the hardest thing for any of us to learn, no matter what our culture and our background is, to trust the intention, to trust spirit. When that smoke goes up to the four corners of the universe from the pipe, or the, you know, our sweat out of the ceremony, you know, merges with the life-giving rains and goes around the world, and we put that energy out there, we have to trust it. We have to trust that when we state our intention, that we're taken seriously. And the more effort, of course, and the more love and the more power, the more work that we put into what we say and walking our talk, the more we're going to understand the results when we see them. But we have to trust that it's not going to necessarily happen tomorrow. And sometimes it does. You know, certain things will manifest right before your eyes, and other things take years. And then you look back and you go, if some people don't even think to look back because they've forgotten half the stuff they've done. But it's about trust, and it's about opening our hearts. And people, also, some people will try this, they'll try that, until they hit on the thing that resonates. And when it resonates, if they're lucky, and if they're really with it, they'll stay focused, and then that'll really open the doors and get them on their path.
Flute music by R. Carlos Nakai from Canyon Records CD, Voices Across the Canyon, Volume 1. The song was entitled Shaman's Call. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. In the studio today is my guest, Raven Lamoureux Dodd. She is the director of Coach Force, an organization that helps people connect themselves with their inner spirit. Raven has studied intercultural spiritual disciplines for many years. She has traveled extensively as a coach and speaker. Her work, as described in her Coach Force brochure, teaches personal ceremony by designing creative rituals in one's life in order to reconnect with spirit. We are talking today about spirit and ceremony. For many cultures throughout the world, ceremonies serve not only as ways to express our appreciation to the great mystery, the great spirit, but also to help us humans learn from our inner spirit and receive guidance throughout our lives. We indigenous peoples offer prayers to honor Mother Earth, to honor all the relations with whom we live with, our animal and plant relatives, the fish and marine life. Our sacred songs and prayer bundles also connect us with our Nichitonganooks, our ancestors in the spirit world, for their counsel. It is in following a spirit path, the red road, that the world stays in balance. This is one of our responsibilities as human beings, to have reverence for all life, to honor ceremony that keeps Mother Earth well. In addition to personal or daily prayer, most cultures also have ceremonies for specific purposes, such as for seasonal cycles related to hunting, fishing, farming, or herding. Ceremonies also mark important times in a community or individual's life, examples being births, deaths, coming of age, marriage. For many indigenous peoples, ceremonies are part of one's education and clan responsibilities. Ceremonies, such as what in English is called the Vision Quest, provides insight in helping to learn one's purpose in life and staying connected to spirit. Ceremonies, importantly, are the ways in which knowledge and wisdoms are passed down from generation to generation, the cultural, spiritual essence of one's society. One of the most important concerns of Yad Kiddushin Native Center is the protection of sacred sites. In most every broadcast, we speak about many threats to prayer places around the world. Most of the sacred places under assault are also unique ecosystems, which are home not only to spirit beings, but also the home of our animal and plant relatives, which we consider sacred relations. Many cultures around the globe have sacred sites. For indigenous peoples, they are our ancestral territories. They are our Aboriginal land and waters. Our spirits are tied to the Mother Earth. We are of the place we come from, be it mountains or grasslands, rivers or canyons, forests or coastal shores, islands or deserts, marshes or lake basins. Our sacred homelands and ceremonial sites are where we get our physical subsistence as well as our spiritual life force. This is why the desecration of sacred sites and destruction of Mother Earth is a planetary crime. The destruction of sacred sites threatens the cultural survival of indigenous peoples. Raven, what are your thoughts about what is happening to ceremonial sites? Do you talk about this concern in your workshops?
I think it's really important, and I must admit that I'm horrified at the development that I've seen just in Southwest Florida, and especially, you know, some of the things that have happened with the Everglades. And I know that we in Southwest Florida here, I mean, I'll speak for where we live at the moment, we have many sacred sites. We have many beautiful energies here. And there's a lot of differences of opinion, as you know, about how to approach, you know, this retaining. I mean, a lot of developers aren't even considering sacred sites. I mean, they're talking about things like, you know, just even preserving parkland or just, you know, whatever. And one of the most frightening and annoying things that I heard recently was one of the developers in the area that they couldn't, they weren't supposed to develop a particular area because there was a big eagle's nest up in the tree. And there were two eagles that were nesting in the tree, you know, a pair of eagles that were white eagles, I mean bald eagles that were nesting in the tree. And so what the developer decided to do was to rent a helicopter, and they decided to fly over the nest to see if the eagles were okay. Well, how do you think that the eagles responded to a helicopter buzzing their nest? So this is what happens around here, and that makes me very, very angry. What I think we have to do, and of course we live at the moment, I'll get a little political here for a moment, we live in a time, unfortunately, in the United States where, you know, 30 years of environmental reform is being rolled back by the current administration. So this is very frustrating for us, too. I belong to, you know, many environmental groups, and with the internet, you know, we really pay attention to all the stuff that's going on in North America. We'll just talk about Turtle Island. We'll just talk about North America for now. There's a lot going on, and I think it's a question of keeping pushing at making sure that people are aware of what is going on, because we are so overwhelmed with information via email, via the post, via television, movies. We're constantly being overwhelmed by information. And so people get a message from the Audubon Society or from the Sierra Club or from, you know, some other group, and it's like, it's just another message. It's another message, you know. And these are very, very important. What's happening in Alaska, what's happening in, you know, everywhere, every single state, every county has an issue of some kind. And our four-legged friends and our two-legged and so on are in trouble in the ocean and the Gulf and the fish. And so these are very, very important considerations. I do, you know, keep telling people, pay attention. For my part, what I can do, you know, as a ceremonialist and as a coach, is the more that through ceremony I help people reconnect with the heartbeat of the earth and with the standing ones and with the stone people and with their relations, the more that they began then have a personal emotional investment in the state of our environment and the fate of our animal and, you know, bird relatives. It's a big question, ONS, and it's a hard one to answer, you know, but there's a lot of work to do. We've got to. This is a huge fight to keep development from taking over, not just the sacred sites, but just, well, to me, it's all sacred. All of nature is sacred. All of it's all a sacred site. And of course, there are specific little points where people have done ceremony or have worshipped or done whatever for millennia. But all of our ground is sacred.
As I am honored by the Great Spirit to live more winters, I'm learning the importance of having respect and appreciation for everyone on Mother Earth, and to really be appreciative of those who promote healing and peace, and those who promote learning to have respect for the spirit way. And I know, traditionally speaking, many indigenous peoples, like my own people, we're always willing to share in a good way some of our cultural ways of thought, our philosophies. And this is really very important, and one of the, roles of Wolf Mountain Native Radio is to help get the voice of indigenous peoples heard and appreciated and respected throughout the world, because the wisdoms of earth-based people, I think, can help the future well-being of all life on the planet. And because of that, in the last decade or so, I've been learning a lot from different traditional elders, Native American elders, who have been holding what in English might be called multicultural or intertribal, intercultural ceremonies and gatherings, where traditional wisdom keepers share their knowledge and visions with anyone of good heart. And this has been a hard lesson for me, because I grew up in a culture where a lot of traditional ceremony not only was outlawed until the so-called 1978 American Indian Religious Freedom Act, but because of so many years of colonialism and oppression by non-Native people towards indigenous peoples, a lot of our people have been quite concerned about the misuse of traditional ceremony and prayer. And this is something that's taken me a lot of time to understand, that prayer and ceremony isn't owned by any one culture. It's something that is a connection between you and the Great Spirit. So I am trying to say politely on the program that I am much more open in learning to have indigenous knowledge and wisdom and ceremony shared in the world. I might not have thought that some years ago. On the same time, I understand that within what's called the American Indian community, there's also a concern that some of our ceremonies, very sacred ceremonies, for example, a lot of Lakota people who practice sun dance or who practice pipe ceremonies, vision quests, are concerned that these ceremonies are being done inappropriately, I'll use that term, that there are people out there, both native and non-native, who sell these ceremonies for money, who charge outrageous sums to people who might mean well but are very naive because they've not been exposed to indigenous culture and spirituality. So my question to you, Raven, is how do you deal with, I guess you could call it the controversy or criticism on the part of some indigenous peoples who might say that non-native people and even native people who share ceremonies, especially for money, are misrepresenting and misusing sacred knowledge and wisdom?
That's a very good question. And I think that I can only speak from my personal experience. I, for many years, was sharing traditional ceremony of not just Native American, but other culture also, with people as part of my path. But I didn't charge for those ceremonies. Mm-hmm. I would never charge to do a sweat lodge, for example, at an EP ceremony. I just can't imagine. It just doesn't feel right. Doesn't make sense. Other ceremony that I was working with, you know, that I've studied and shared with people that it, you know, felt right to share it with, I didn't charge for. What I do now is I design ceremony for people. I actually write the ceremonies myself. I actually create and design whole new ceremonies. So there's traditional ceremony, and then there's designing new ceremony. Now, obviously, because I studied a lot of traditional ceremony, I have a lot of ideas and a lot of ways of doing things that come from traditional ceremony. But it's like different flavors, okay? It's like I might, because of my understanding of a certain way in on the Red Road, or my understanding of a certain way of doing things on the Celtic or Druid Road, I'm, by the way, a member of the Druid Order in England, this will influence my understanding of ceremony. I also, as a child in the Catholic Church, used to love to go to Mass. I wanted to be the priest up there doing the ceremony, but of course that wasn't open to women. So it's always been in my soul to be a ceremonialist, to be a priestess. But when I design ceremony now, I'm actually going through a whole process of coaching a person on what it is that they, what are their values, what is their intention, why are we doing this ceremony, you know, what do they need? And so then I completely design and write a ceremony for them. So I'm not actually doing a traditional ceremony. I'm making a new ceremony. And I don't even sometimes know what it's going to be until I sit down and start to write, and I just ask Spirit, guide me, and out comes the invocation, out comes the ceremony. So that I do charge for. It's what I do for a living, as a, besides being a coach and besides the sacred art that I do. I think that I understand your concern, and I think that I know that, let's put it this way, the teachers that have taught me traditional ceremony were very good teachers, and I am a perfectionist, so, you know, if they tell me you have to pray with each stick that goes into that fire or whatever, or bless each rock or whatever, I do it. You know, I do it. I am impeccable when it comes to ceremony. That's what makes it so passionate for me. That's what makes it so interesting, is being impeccable, getting it right, doing it. If you're gonna set up something according to the directions, then make sure you are facing east. You know, I don't waver. I'm very, very detail oriented. It's just one of the things I love. And so I was taught traditional ceremony by teachers who, boy, they were strict and they were severe, and you didn't mess around, and I wouldn't have anyway. But I have such a tremendous respect for traditional ceremony that, one, I won't share it with people unless I feel they're ready, and two, it would go against my grain to not do it right. It would be like slapping Wakan Tonka in the face. I couldn't possibly do it. It isn't in my skin. I take ceremony very seriously. And when I design a ceremony, I design it with reverence, and I design it with, whether it's a moving on ceremony into a new direction or a wedding or a ceremony about relationships or a letting go or a blessing someone's office space or blessing your home. I mean, all of these things, they all have different intentions. They all have different colors and textures, if you will. And so I'm very reverent in everything that I do when it comes to something like ceremony. So I certainly understand how, let's say, the Lakota would be worried about people doing pipe ceremony the wrong way. There's going to be people out there doing that, and I agree with you. It feels wrong. The Native Americans have gotten a rough deal. You know, it's like you were told you can't do your stuff, you can't do your ceremony, you can't live your life. And then a few generations down the road, we want it now because it's really great. And it would anger me and it would irk me and I would feel the same way. And yet, it may be our salvation, all of us. If the white people get it, you know, if the white people really, really understand what's going on and they get it, then they're going to really get out there and promote the preservation of our earth and honoring all of our relations. And if you look at the situation in the world right now, God, we need this. And there's a lot of people walking around, a lot of white Indians, if you will, white people walking around who, this is what makes, what resonates. This is what really turns them on. This is where they kind of go, oh my God, through this I can really connect with myself. I wasn't able to do it as a Christian. I wasn't able to do it as a whatever. For me personally, I honor it all. I see it all. I honor the beauty in all of it. And I just work with what works in the moment.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinunwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yadkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yadkidichi Native Center, write to Yadkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Our email is wigwam@aol.com. That's wigwam@aol.com. Yadkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. Please stay tuned next week for part two of my conversation with today's program guest, Raven Lemereau Dodd, director of Coach Force, a very fine organization that helps people reconnect with their spirit heart through personal ceremony. And as her Coach Force brochure beautifully expresses, ceremony is a celebration of life. When you participate in ceremony, you enter a sacred space, a place where emotions flow freely, where you become filled with the energy of life and all is new and vibrant again. If you want to learn more about the Coach Force organization, Raven's website is www.coachforce.com. And I really, again, enjoyed talking with you today, Raven, because ceremony is a practice many cultures throughout the world have done from our beginnings, and it helps to connect our inner wisdom and receive guidance and gives us a sanctuary in life that hopefully will translate into the red road or the red path of where we have reverence and respect for all life, and that we care and share the sacred breath of life with all the relations on Mother Earth. Well, we're going to conclude today's program with music from Sequoia Records. This is their Sacred Drums Vision CD featuring David and Steve Gordon. The particular song we're going to share is entitled Spirit Walk. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you.